ever will be. And you know it.
With a tear in my eye.
The queen of the crop.
Acknowledge me.
Good morning, Top Rope Nation. Episode 396, a Sunday morning. It's been a long, long time since all three of us have been on the flagship. I looked it up, August 10th, but I'm back on the flagship. I've been on the Patreon side with you guys, but thanks to Justin and Jesse for carrying the load the last few weeks. Of course, I'm Ryan Drosty, and this is the usual trio if you're new to the show. And we're going to be talking a lot of things this morning. WWE, AEW. I got some things I want to get off my chest about the state of pro wrestling this morning. Justin, join. How you doing?
Not too bad. I got my coffee ready, and I'm very curious to hear this rant.
Oh, yeah. I texted the boys. I'm like, you know, we thought we'd do a show this weekend. We didn't really have much of an agenda. And then I started thinking about it, and I was like, you know what? I got some things I want to talk about. And I'm glad to see Noah in our chat here, who says, been waiting on this. AEW cooked WWE last weekend.
Yeah, I mean, buddy.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. Jesse, how you doing?
Morning's been okay. Might be ruined here in the next hour, but I mean, other than that, no, everything's good. I'm wearing my purple this morning for a specific reason.
I forgot the game was early. Yeah.
Yeah, are they playing right now?
Yeah, it's not looking good.
Uh-oh.
I haven't even looked at the score yet.
Although watching Aaron Rodgers just get annihilated by Jalen Redmond was a lot of fun just now.
Well, you love to hear that.
Where's the game at?
Dublin.
Oh, wow.
Next weekend, it's at your favorite spot in the European wavelength, Justin. Tottenham.
Yeah.
Sweet. What game do they get?
Vikings. Browns. Sorry about that.
Ooh,
didn't the Steelers backup get like mugged or something last night? I got a text alert about that.
I don't know. Speaking of muggings, I'm sure we're going to be talking about that as well here as this show goes along, right?
Yes, we will. Oh, guys. So I mentioned, I've been on the Patreon side. Basically, the big thing is during football season, like an old host of ours, I get really busy now because I do a Chicago Bears podcast. I've been covering the Bears in addition to pro wrestling. So I've been doing a lot of shows, and it's been really hard. Bleacher Report with wrestling still. Usually when I do the BR shows, I post the audio for our patrons as a podcast, so you guys can still hear from me. So last weekend, I did a review of WrestlePalooza. I did a review of All Out. It was on the Patreon side. So if you guys want to hear those, sign up for the Patreon. Never a better time than right now to get our bonus stuff. Jesse's putting out unplugs every single week. We did Top Rope Nation Classics on SummerSlam 90. Just a couple of weeks ago, that is available for both patrons and YouTube Plus members. If you join the YouTube channel, you can get the video of that. And we're going to be doing In Your House Mind Games for TRN Classics here for September, the official September show very soon. I realize September is almost over, but yeah, that's going to be a fun one. Justin, join.
Hey, I have a quick question. Are there more stars in the universe or Dave Meltzer stars on the All Out review?
It's got to be neck and neck. I mean, I put out my star ratings for that show. I thought they were pretty fair. I was fairly high on the show. Like, it wasn't the best AEW pay-per-view of the year. It was way better than WrestlePalooza, but it was a really good show. And then I see those reviews in the Observer. I'm like, Dave, was it 4.5 stars for that opening tag? I mean, to me, a 4.5 star match is like a ultra memorable match you're going to remember for months and months and months. I don't think that fits the bill. I don't.
He loves Adam Copeland.
Yes, he does.
I mean, Edge Finn Balor. I always go back to it. Extreme Rules 2022, 4.5 stars, according to Dave Meltzer. Yeah. First half of that match is unwatchable.
I mean, we've talked about it before. The industry has kind of adapted to what Dave likes, and his ratings reflect that. I try to be, when I do those ratings, I try to be reflective on where would I rate this historically, even versus, Styles 20, 30 years ago. And then also I kind of adjust when I look up and down the card, and then sometimes I even look at my recent AEW reviews and I think back on some of those matches. I'm like, all right, am I being consistent where I'm ranking these? So again, that's on Patreon too. I do that for all the shows. You guys can check that out.
that's, you know, Ryan and I were hanging out last night and we were talking about it. And my thing is like, it should be, the matches should be compared to kind of like in the time, in the moment, you know, and I think, you know, to Ryan's point, Dave is just grading stuff to what he likes to see, you know, ring work wise. And, yeah, I would prefer to compare, like if you're talking, Cope and Cage versus FTR, I'm going to compare it to all the other matches that are happening, you know, in its era. And it is not a 4.5 match, you know, 4.5. That's a match of the year contender big time.
Yeah.
And tag team match is not even in the conversation for me.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Me coming in unprepared, I think I'll actually do the research while one of you is talking at some point. I want to look at all three FTR versus Briscoe matches to see what he gave them. Because if he gave anything 4.5 from those, all three of those matches were better than FTR versus Cope and Cage.
I'm curious too. I'd be willing to bet all of those were at least 5 stars. You got to think.
Yeah. I mean, if we were grading them though, we would probably put it between 4.25. There might be a 5 in there. Might be, but it's like 4.25 to 4.5, 4.75.
For me, the last one would be 5 stars for sure.
Yeah. So for comparison's sake, my all out ratings, Hangman and Fletcher, which is a phenomenal match. Yeah. I went 4.5 on that.
That's right. Really
I thought
good.
That was an unbelievable match. That's not the full was... 5, but I didn't break the scale, you know, like Dave, but 4.5 is a really high score.
That was one of those matches that I was stunned when I looked at the match time, because it did not feel the length where it, and a lot of times in today's matches, you kind of feel once it starts creeping past 25 minutes, you can always feel the length almost irregardless of how good the match was. But I watched that one twice. I loved it so much.
Yeah. And the opening tag, I gave that 3. Like to me, a 3-star match is like baseline, pretty good match. You know, like not overly great, but it's a good match.
It's above average. I would say that's an above average match.
Yeah. 2.5, I guess, would be average, right? If you kind of went on the scale right in the middle. So, yeah, to me, yeah, 4.5. Come on. What are we doing here? But anyways, yeah, if you guys want to get those ratings and all those bonus shows just talked about, link in the broadcast description. You can see the names of all of our awesome patrons, you know, going across the bottom of the screen. We thank all of them for their support. And, you know, if you want to support us for free, all you got to do, hit that like button, subscribe to the YouTube channel or on your podcast feeds. Give us a 5-star rating. Would really, really appreciate that a lot. So the thumbnail on this show is Rotten to the Core, WWE. And on that thumbnail, I've got the WrestleMania 43 Saudi Arabia announcement. And then I also have a cutout of Paul Heyman's promo from SmackDown this past Friday night, where, if you're not aware, he referenced the allegations for Brock Lesnar.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then he got cut off. Cody comes out. So he's talking about Brock, and he's saying like Brock is the guy who's going to take this company into the 2030s and maybe even the 2040s. Yes, Brock Lesnar is going to do that, who is 48 years old, by the way.
I mean, if you look at the main event scene of WWE, that tracks.
This is true. I want to quote him directly. So hold on. Let me just pull up the transcript because I still have the tab open from the promo here where I got the picture from. He said, quote, "Or we should talk about the conspiracy theories and the rumors regarding Brock Lesnar." And the crowd kind of reacted a little confused, some boos, and then Cody's theme comes on and Cody comes out. So anyways, the things I want to talk about, I guess, are, I didn't really want to get in the direction of the show, but now that's hitting me. I believe that we've been very fair on this podcast over the years. I forced Justin to watch WWE, even though he doesn't want to watch WWE. And look, I'll be completely honest. I grew up watching WWE. I still watch WWE because I got a job at Bleacher Report that requires me to watch WWE. But that doesn't mean they're above criticism. And certainly we criticize them when they need to be criticized. And I mean, I said this on the show months ago about how they were throwing things in your face about where some of the top people in this company stand. And just, they don't care. It's like their business is doing well, although it ain't doing as well as it was. And I'm going to get into that because I looked up some figures. But their business has been doing really good. And they're like, oh, we can do anything. We can take as much money as possible from these fans and they'll eat it all up. We'll charge $800 for nosebleed seats at WrestleMania 42. What? Who the hell is paying this? I mean, if you're paying that, you're part of the problem. I mean, you need to refuse. No, there is not an entertainment product on earth I would pay $800 for. I'm the biggest Bruce Springsteen fan in the world. I've seen him like almost 20 times live. I would not pay $800 to see the Boss in concert. He's one of the best live performers of all time. I wouldn't do it. And you know where the creative is right now with this company, WWE. I can't imagine justifying that. And look, man, I don't know if you guys saw these quotes where they were talking about ticket prices a couple of weeks ago.
The Vince McMahon quote?
Yeah, I'm about to read that here. So
my God.
So here's the thing. So Nick Khan was like confronted by a fan about ticket costs. This was like a fan video. It was out there. Not too long after, TKO COO Mark Shapiro was doing a presentation. And he said, quote, WWE is not where the UFC yet is on ticket yield. We have our own work to do there. And he added that, you know, Vince McMahon had long kept ticket prices family friendly rather than focusing on maximizing their revenue. And then Shapiro goes on to say, now that we've seen what we can do with UFC, we're replicating that in terms of ticket yield and holding back in advance sales when it comes to on location on the WWE side. And it's working out really well. Guys, do you know how big of an asshole you have to be to make Vince McMahon look like a hero? Really? Vince McMahon wasn't maximizing ticket revenue enough, and we're doing what we can. In this economy? Yeah. Have you guys looked around lately? Have you seen grocery prices over the last several years and in the last year? I mean, the price of everything, regardless of what our dope president says, the price of everything is up. He'll just go out there and lie. Everything's down. No, it's not. The price on everything is up. These are facts. And this company is just constantly raising the price. It's absurd. I don't know who is paying. You have to be the biggest mark in the entire world to pay these prices. I have been a wrestling fan for over 35 years. I've gone to lots of WWE shows. I will not even consider going to these shows right now. They had a SmackDown not far from us a few months ago. Would have cost me in the upper deck over $500 to buy four tickets to go to take my kids. Dude, you guys, I just bought five tickets to an upcoming AEW pay-per-view. Cost me in the threes, $300 for five tickets on the lower level, a show that I know will absolutely smoke any upcoming WWE show. I don't get it. You know, you can be a WWE stan all you want, but it's undeniable that their creative is bad right now. They haven't had good shows in a while. They're still on this hot run. But speaking of tickets, guys, let me just give you some numbers and then I'll let you guys chime in. Cause I'm like, you know, I they gotta be selling less tickets. Cause I feel more and more people are starting to complain about the ticket sales. I'm seeing this on social media all the time. Now we ranted about it almost a year ago on the podcast, way ahead of the curve on that. Here's some of the numbers of their upcoming shows. All right, they got Raw this Monday, tomorrow night in Raleigh, North Carolina. And this one, I actually didn't look up how many tickets they sold last time. Let me just double check this real quick. That one is close to sold out. They've closed well on this one, but it is way under what they could be doing. Okay, so the Lenovo Center in Raleigh, the number of seats on the map per WrestleTix is a little over 17,000. Okay, and the last time they were there, they sold 12,600 tickets. And that was in March of 2024. So they haven't been there a long time. You know, you would think this company's hot. They're surely going to equal that, right? Mm-hmm. No, they've sold 9,100 tickets. there's 10, it's set up for 10,200. So they're set up for 2,000 less than what they sold last time. And it's not quite sold out. They'll probably get there by tomorrow night or close. But then listen to this. And I joked about this on our Facebook group yesterday. Cincinnati, Ohio. We've been tracking this one for a while. I sent you guys a screenshot of this one a few weeks ago. And I was like, oh my God, look at how bad this show is selling in Cincinnati. You know, that's a big market. They're an NFL franchise, you know, MLB franchise. Okay. Cincinnati, Ohio. The last time they were there was for Raw this past February, sold over 12,000 tickets. SmackDown next week, they've sold 5,600 tickets. It's set up for 7,700. So it's set up for almost 5,000 less than the last time they ran that venue. Okay, let's go on. Raw in Dallas the week after, October 6th. Current setup is for 11,400. They've sold 8,400. Last time they were there was in January for Raw, 14,000 tickets distributed. So they are almost 6,000 less for a show that's 8 days away from the last time they ran. Then they go to Australia. Don't have a lot of numbers on WrestleTix for the Australia shows, but look, they hardly ever run there. That's kind of a different animal when you run, you know, out of the continental United States. So we bring it back to San Jose on SmackDown, October 17th. They had Raw there in January, sold 13,000 tickets. They've sold 7,500 for that show.
Ruh-roh.
Oh, it gets worse. Raw in Sacramento, October 20th. Last time they were there was in April. 14,100 tickets distributed. They've sold 5,400 tickets. So don't tell me this product is hot. They are way below what they were selling. And that's due to creative, and that is due to them bilking their audience out of as much money as they possibly can and greed catching up with them. That's the numbers. Those are facts. People are not paying these prices. So for the people who still are, they're going to just, this is what they've done during down periods. It seems like they're just going to keep raising the prices to make up the profits they're losing because people are not going to the shows. You know, and I got more numbers. They're running a SmackDown in Tempe, Arizona. And this is part of this Big 12 partnership they're doing. They're running a small venue for that. The place only seats 5,000 people. They've only sold 3,000 tickets for that show. That's SmackDown on October 24th. So, I mean, across the board, numbers are lower. I've been talking for a while. You guys want to jump in on any of this?
Oh, I just real quick. I mean, you summed it up perfectly. I kind of hesitant to even follow that. Well done. But the only thing I just want to say is for anybody out there saying, oh, we're just shitting on WWE because that's what we do. We were railing on AEW when their attendance was falling to drop their ticket prices to help fill up the arenas. Pro wrestling is much better when the arenas are full. It adds so much to the atmosphere of a wrestling product, especially when it's on television, is just get those things filled up. So this is not just WWE thing. Like we're very much, hey, drop the prices, fill the arenas.
Exactly. I that's one of the things I've prided the show on, you know, the most. Look at this t-shirt. Established 2016. We've been at this for a long time, okay? And we've been high on WWE. We've been down on WWE. And high in AEW, down on AEW. You know, the thing is, when AEW deserved the criticism, ticket prices, they've dropped prices since then.
Yep.
They have. And, you know, some of that's market demand. But, you know, I do think that they are trying to keep that product more family-friendly. And WWE, as they've gotten more and more corporate, they don't care. They just want to make money. And look, Vince is a piece of garbage. I don't think anyone disagrees with that. But he did keep ticket prices reasonable. And you know what else he did? He created the storyline that last drew for this company. So Paul Levesque, who plasters his name across everything he can, every commercial for this company features the guy that's the head of creative. Justin, you railed on this long ago. It is so weird that this guy does this. He's not active talent. He's not even an on-screen character. Mm-hmm. Yet he opens the show. You know, he puts himself on there. The last thing you see on the show is his name. It is like the biggest case of small man syndrome I have ever seen. And by the way, praise to the GOAT, Bret Hart, who's been over in Europe and talking about Hunter in the last few days. You guys have probably seen those quotes out there. But I mean, if you want to plaster yourself all over those TV shows, then you got to take the heat when creative goes in the shitter. And, you know, Jeremy and I, you guys are patrons, heard this. When we were talking about where does WWE go in these title pictures in the months ahead, there was like no options. I mean, like they built the two world champions thing just sucks. It's terrible. Yeah. And when you were looking at possible challengers for Cody, well, now they're just going to send Brock against him. There's like nobody built up on that brand. There was a report out there that at WrestlePalooza, Cody and Drew were actually pushing for Drew to win the title and have Randy cost Cody the title. I, you know, despite Drew McIntyre going to the birthday party of Vince McMahon, which certainly hurt my opinion of that guy, I like that a hell of a lot better than what they're doing. At least it would shake things up a little bit. I mean, this Cody title reign is just boring as hell. You could play into Cody and Randy's history, do something fresh there. Hunter nicks that. Nope. Cody's going to retain again in just a super average match. And that was that. I think I gave it 3 stars, you know, average, a little bit above average, but, you know, not a good match, not a match I would ever revisit. And certainly left me with no interest in the WWE title picture at all. Jesse, you want to jump in here? Anything you want to say on anything brought up so far?
Yeah, you were talking about, we'll just go to the Vince McMahon part. Once again, Vince still being Vince, handing out statues of himself for his birthday and all his guests. If you saw that as well, 100 of them.
Unreal.
What? I didn't see that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
My God. Yeah.
So Vince, again, still being Vince, in spite of the fact they were trying to humanize him for actually keeping ticket prices down. Yeah, I'd be curious because I think if I was like computing while you were going on, averaging maybe 4,000 or 5,000 less on the second go rounds here, I'd be very curious to see just how much they're really marking up these ticket prices and how much if they are losing at all, or if they're staying like within range of what they made last time. That's all they really care about.
Yeah,
I mean, with camera angles, you can just not highlight a specific section of the arena. You can darken it. I mean, you can make it look like it's a full crowd one way or another with that production team.
And they're such a huge company. They got to see all the metrics there. So, yeah, I would imagine that as attendance drops, tickets go up, which is just asinine.
Another question I was actually going to ask you, were you going to go into any detail on them counter programming AEW? Because I do have something I wanted to bring up.
Yes. One second. Check. We got an active chat this morning. So
we certainly do
feature some of these comments. Noah jumping in. Can't watch or support WWE right now. And I was on Team WWE about 18 months ago. Yeah. I mean, we've all talked about it. We were all WWF kids growing up. You know, I still like, you know, I'm always going to follow it. It's just, it's harder and harder with their business practices and some of the things they associate with these days. Yeah, John, it takes something to babyface Vince. Charging 10K, Noah says, to go watch bad wrestling. Kind of crazy. Jay checking in. Just got here. I assume this means we're not going to Mania this year. Sarcasm.
Dang it. Sorry, Jay.
John says, yeah, people are still going. There's some rich people who love the Fed. Yeah, there are. I mean, look, those are the people that vote for the people that give them a tax cut at the top, I guess is what I could say on that.
I do want to cut in for just 1 second. Yeah. For those people who paid a high dollar to watch that SmackDown product on Friday night, give me your thoughts on the ending of that triple threat main event that you saw with the wonderful... should have been 3 count, but the ref just looked around and was just like, no, I'm supposed to stop here. And then Nia mouthing something, that thing just got jumbled completely. They would, if we were to go with the other company, that would get shit on to death. What I can't believe is I think the three biggest talking points here in social media recently have been that. Gail Kim, if you had that on your bingo card, let me know. And Andreas Hale.
Yeah. Yes.
Andreas, I love you for your C grade at WrestlePalooza. I'm assuming, Ryan, you gave that show a C. I think you did.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know why that was even a story. Some of these nerds on social media, can you believe that the ESPN review gave it a C? Like, yeah.
they're broadcasting the show?
They're broadcasting the show, but like, I mean, are they going to put someone on their website and like give everything an A? I don't think that's really how journalism is going to operate over there. I mean, it's... they're paying to broadcast the shows, but like they're also going to pay their writers, to be honest. So, I mean,
yeah. I shot him a message this week to ask him if he's going to be continuing to do reviews for the WWE PLEs, and he said yes.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Jay, the real question, who are the people who pay to go watch nothing but commercials for the last 3 years? I mean, I would say that too, and you guys would probably agree. I mean, I went to a SmackDown a couple of years ago. It was the last WWE TV I went to. And I mean, I even said, even in WWE's down period, I'd much rather go to house shows. They were way more fun than WWE TV, which was a lot of watching the screens. But like, you go to one of these AEW shows and it's like, it's hard to find a bathroom break because it's just nonstop action. I just feel like the money goes so much further at those shows. I've said this before. I remember I got a bunch of trolls on Twitter when I said this, but it's true. I know it's true for you guys too. My kids far prefer AEW. They've been to both and they thought the AEW shows were way more fun. And I got these people in my mentions like, oh, you're just brainwashing your kids and kids love WWE. And it's like, look, they like watching WWE too. I'm not going to lie, but they prefer AEW. That's just the God's honest truth. If they preferred WWE, that's what we would watch more of. They don't. That's the truth. So, I mean, yeah, John said there are people who applaud when they say, biggest gate, yay, we paid the most. Yeah, we always joke about that on the show. Triple H thinks he's a bigger draw than everyone. Noah says, yeah, yeah.
I like Noah's last comment. If they just left AEW alone, I could excuse some bad booking. You know, that's, you know, obviously I don't like the WWE product right now. It's just not for me, especially when you factor in all the outside stuff. But it's just the fact that they want to homogenize the entire wrestling industry. And I cannot support that. And that's why I throw my weight behind AEW, because they're not, you know, trying to do that. They're trying to incorporate other companies instead of ingest them like WWE is doing.
Corey says, now that Chris Jericho is gone, the bathroom break match is no longer built in the pay-per-view cards. That's a great comment.
Not wrong.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, you're totally right, Justin. I mean, the counter program we were going to talk about here, it's obviously just terrible business practice. I mean, if you are a wrestling fan, it's bad for you. If you're a wrestler, it's bad for you. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't even keep these straight anymore. If this was on BR or on this show where I ranted about that. But like, if you're just a total dummy, if you're in the locker room and you're rooting for WWE to like destroy AEW, because that's going to hurt your bargaining power and you get paid less. WWE, as a percentage of their revenue, pays talent way less than other pro sports companies, NFL, MLB, or leagues, I should say, MLB, NBA. They pay their talent way more than WWE does, you know, and that's not going to get better now with the TKO partnership. So they're going to keep bringing in all this money and bragging about towns now paying them to run pay-per-views that are having trouble selling tickets. Apparently lately, they're still going to pay millions of dollars to bring WWE to their towns. WWE is pocketing that for their executives. That's not going proportionally to the talent. So if your talent, you want to drive up your contracts, you need AEW to exist. So you have bargaining power. You know, the monopoly era of WWE was horrid. Nobody should want to go back to that. All right, Jesse, go ahead.
I was going to go into that point just a little bit further. And the number one reason in my eyes why WWE is counter-programming AEW is for the revenue piece. From what I saw, I was looking at some numbers myself. AEW with their revenue share and what they give the wrestlers, and this could be wrong. So you, even if you lower this by 10%, it still sounds phenomenal. They apparently it's 50%. The revenue, half of the revenue goes to the talent. Again, you lower it to 10, it's still 40. Average for leagues, because they have unions and such, is around 50%. There's a couple of like 45, 47, that's fine. WWE, get ready for this. On average, the last decade, they pay their talent in revenue shares 7.6%.
7%.
Average. They've had some years they gave them 10, 11%. And UFC as well, they give their talent about 15%, and that is frowned upon quite a bit. But then you look at their sister company that just rolled in, and they're giving out half of that. And the reason they are doing this is so they can get AEW out of business so they can keep those prices low that they're paying their talent. This is why, this is a huge reason why you should be pro AEW, because it's not just for the product itself, it's for the talent and the compensation that they're receiving.
That's right. And I've heard people defend WWE like, oh, I like the talent there. We all do. You know, we want them to get paid. You know, and like you just made a great point there. You to have them get paid, you need a competition that's doing well. And yeah, like Jay says here, there's something super gross about having your talent work shows that will ultimately suppress their labor rate. Exactly. Justin, do you have something? Yeah.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you brought up like the stars in the locker room who are supporting this too. The truly mind-boggling thing is all these retired vets with podcasts who take every opportunity to shit on AEW and praise WWE. It's like, what, they should know more than anybody that that the only way for the talent to make money is with the competition, or is to have that competition. And they're doing everything they can to make people want to turn off AEW and only watch WWE. It's just that is just beyond shitty for these fucking cheerleaders.
And not all of them, but some of them, Justin. Why do they have podcasts?
Because WWE pays them?
Or because they didn't get paid enough when they worked for WWE. So now they got to grift the fans.
Yep.
Yeah, I've just never really gotten the draw to listen to like a wrestler's podcast. I know I'm biased because I want you guys to listen to us. But yeah, like some wrestlers' podcasts are good. Some of them, it's just like, I don't even know why you would listen to it. You know, the stuff that they're spewing. And I mean, we saw some stuff this week from Bully Ray that was just unbelievably horrible. I don't even know. That's a whole different tangent. Saying you should put The Miz in the match with Cena and AJ Styles. What? Why? Why? That's just brain rot. I'm sorry. I don't know why you would want The Miz. And, you know, The Miz was out there in the news this week, too. I know we're all over the map. We haven't done a show in a while.
This is fun.
Bashing Bryan Danielson. What a fucking nerd. I mean, come on. What?
Who
criticizes Bryan Danielson?
I co-sign putting Miz in that match just for the comedy's sake of it.
Yeah.
Hey, go ahead.
Nope, go ahead. Nope, you first, Jesse.
Oh, I was going to say, as if this gets any worse, by the way, Eric Bischoff, the last 3 weeks, because I still have an ad-free shows, like $1 subscription, he has now added a segment each week with Raj Geary.
Ooh. Well, I know why Eric Bischoff was doing a podcast, because that guy was filing for bankruptcy. So
that is correct.
There you go.
I would like to hear your guys' opinion on Chris's comment here. I'm assuming he's referring to WWE talent. What can they do about this? Is there anything they can do about this? I mean, because obviously it's in their best interest to make WWE as good as possible, but that's also just kind of hurting the industry as a whole.
I don't think there's real. I mean, they have to perform if they're told to perform. These are decisions coming from Nick Khan and the business suits at WWE to counter program these shows. I mean, not going online and burying the competition, I guess, is one thing. But yeah, I mean, they can't like refuse to work the shows. They have to work the shows, obviously. There's no union, so they don't really have like labor power to refuse to work the shows.
Oh no, Hulk's dead. Maybe they can get it done now. Where's Jesse?
Mm-hmm. Ventura, that is.
What's his face was going to unionize pro wrestlers. Whatever happened with that?
So hard to do now these days. Yeah. And I know. I'm sure there like a ginormous ego in the WWE locker room, like Roman or a Seth or a Cody or something like that, or even a Brock that would be opposed to unionizing. I'm sure one of them probably.
Oh, one of them would rat him out for sure. You can't trust these people. Andrew Yang, that's what I was thinking of. Remember Andrew Yang said that if Biden won the presidential election, he was going to unionize pro wrestling. Whatever happened to that? Andrew Yang, another grifter. Sorry if I pissed some of you guys off. My God. All right. Anyways. We talked about SmackDown. Oh, WrestleMania is going to Saudi Arabia, guys. We haven't talked about that. Anything you would like to add on that?
Have you guys booked a hotel or flight yet? Are you guys going to wait closer to showtime? I'm assuming not taking any of the ladies in your life or, you know, LGBTQ people.
Oh, God. No. And you know what? I don't know that we're even going to cover that show if we're doing this podcast still at that point. Because, I mean, it's just gross at this point. We got the Royal Rumble over there now, too. I mean, to all of our fans that listen to this show from England, which is about a quarter of you, Saudi get mania before London is just disgusting.
Oh, awful.
Absolutely disgusting. And so, yeah, I mean, obviously, there's been a lot of talk out there that AEW should run a stadium show that same weekend in the U.S., mm-hmm. partner up with all the indie groups that would normally run around WrestleMania. I think that's a no-brainer. We said that they should have run, I guess they still could, but we said that they should have run what would have been the April pay-per-view down in New Orleans when Mania was supposed to be this spring.
Yeah, you know, Wrestle to make Dynasty.
Make good on WWE canceling Mania there this year. That's still in the cards. They could still do it. But I think absolutely the Saudi weekend, when none of these indie shows are going to be able to run Mania events, I think they absolutely need to do that. I think that's a no-brainer. So let's see. Yeah, I mean, Noah, seems like John Cena's done with Triple H's shit. This Triple H has just ruined Cena's last run. I mean, for this guy, it was such an indictment to see Cena's entrance at WrestlePalooza with all those kids. And that's like the stuff people are dying to see in his last run. And they give him that cool entrance only to job out to Brock Lesnar to set up another match. But it's also like, dude, look how bad you screw this up, Hunter. This is what it should have been all year long. I mean, just totally screwed the pooch on John Cena's final run here. Just another creative failure from Paul Levesque. I mean, I am just struggling. I'm struggling to see what people see in this guy as a booker, because most everything this year has been dog shit. And he was handed the bloodline thing from mm-hmm. Vince. And that was the main drawing card, you know, for years. I mean, I guess Uso's gotten over under him.
He also got lucky. He was handed Cody. He was handed Punk.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't make it in either of those guys. Cody took his AEW and indie character into WWE and just did the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. And it was like built for a WWE audience, kept the same theme song, same look, everything.
Hey, real quick, I'm curious, if Chris Jericho ends up in WWE, do you think he goes back to Break the Walls Down, or are they going to do Judas?
I bet it'll be Break the Walls Down.
Think so?
Yeah,
because they have the you know, the sing along with Judas. I don't know. There's just part of me that thinks they'd go with that. You know, Jericho's very big on, you know, say what you will about him, but he's always looking forward and not backward. So I would be kind of shocked if he does the nostalgia act going back.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, he belongs there. You know, he was good for AEW for a long time. I don't want to bury him too much. He made sense as the first champion. He's just obviously overstayed his expiration date there. He did a lot of good stuff for the first several years, but it's like, it's time to move on, just like it is for anybody. You know, we talk about this on the show all the time. Movement's good. He's been there now for almost seven years, you know, and there's nothing left for him to do. He's a legend. He's older. He can go back to the Hall of Fame, you know, make some more money. Whatever, but like, I don't see any way AEW benefits from a continued Chris Jericho presence at this point.
Yeah, that's a hard no for me. He's way past the kind of the ring work necessary to perform in AEW now. It's much more suited, both, you know, character and in ring, to go back to WWE.
Yeah. 2022 was his last really good year, and then the last few have just been very iffy. So we'll see. I mean, he's been very quiet. I mean, obviously he still has his podcast, but he's not, I don't think he's done any interviews with any AEW talent in the last few months. So writing could be on the wall.
Yeah. All right. I don't think I have anything more to talk about with WWE. It's been 40 minutes. So we can talk AEW direction here a little bit, you know, coming out of All Out, which we said was a really good show. You know, for this promotion to have lost two of their three top baby faces and still feel exciting is a credit to their booking. It's a credit to everything they're doing right now. You know, we harped on what the Death Rider storyline was all during the middle of the year and how it was like the weakest part of the show. They obviously recovered from that and made it intriguing, you know, and that they do the stuff where they're teasing Statlander being part of the group, and then they fight, you know, she doesn't join them, and they fight at the end of Dynamite, and Darby comes out with the flamethrower, you know, think of that, whatever you want. But him doing the I Quit match with Moxley, I think is going to be good at the next show, the next pay-per-view.
Are there nerds out there who said the flamethrower thing wasn't cool?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Why? What's not cool about a fucking flamethrower?
I don't know. I mean, like, visually, I thought it was pretty cool. Whatever. You know, I it's not a criticism of mine. I don't know. I wouldn't rail on that by any means. But it was a memorable way to end the show. Now, I did think that Dynamite as a whole was kind of average. It wasn't like a great follow-up to All Out. But they're starting to set the table for next month's show down in St. Louis, a venue Justin and I traveled to for Dynasty a couple of years ago.
Yeah, we really wish I could go, even though we don't really know what's going to happen with that card other than the I Quit match. You know, it's the same thing as coming out of Forbidden Door. Is my big question is like, what's next for Hangman? Because it almost looks like he's going back to the Death Riders, you know, with recent television. But, you know, obviously Moxley's occupied with Darby, so I'm very curious to see what his opponent's going to be. I'm a little scared. We're going to talk about it because obviously, you know, it looks like the women are going to get a blood and guts match. I just really hope they don't do the WWE thing with two blood and guts matches with the men's and women's. Just let the women have their moment.
Yeah.
I think they will.
The one this year. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's, you know, my one criticism maybe I would have of Dynamite, I thought that MJF promo was kind of lame, quoting My Way. I don't know.
Oh, I dug that. I liked it with the callback to Adam Cole and how he basically hasn't been MJF since then, which is, I think, 100%.
That was cool. That was cool. I liked the first half of the promo, and I'm interested to see him try to get his moxie back, for lack of a better term, you know, as he comes back with more of an edge, I guess, is what he was leading into. I just thought the second part of that promo was a little cheesy. He like direct quoted the song My Way, and he said, I ate it up and spit it out, and he spit out Attack. It was a little on the nose, I thought. That was a little lame. That was a little lame. But yeah, the early part of the promo was good. You know, he's obviously one of those guys out there in the promotion who he... Well, first of all, he had been requesting to work with Briscoe, I guess, for months. Mm-hmm. And to put over Briscoe, we always talk about how he's so good, but then he always loses his matches. So for him to get the win, I thought was great. I liked them. I liked that match a lot, too. I think I gave it 4 even. Always impressed with Mark Briscoe. But yeah, MJF's a guy who obviously was one of the main eventers of this promotion for a long time. And it feels like he's definitely stepped back. So to see him try to rise again would be something I think sorely needed in this promotion, to have another top heel like that again.
Yeah. That's the point. Yeah, there really aren't that many like really top heels. Like, so I mean, like for example, the Don Callis family. I mean, they have Okada, who's still the unified champion, but we just saw Kyle Fletcher take on Hangman, also with the title belt. So I think I would like to see Okada get a title shot and at Hangman at some point in time, but it doesn't look like they're going to be leaning in towards it. Takeshita, when he gets back from Japan, is he going to be off TV for a long time? He's got a title match in 2 weeks, I think. And
oh, is that in 2 weeks? Wow.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I know that Zack Sabre Jr. had a defense this morning against Ren Narita, so the next big show is in like 2 or 3 weeks, and that's going to be for their October show. Be very curious to see where they go from there, because Moxley is still doing some pretty good work. They just brought Daniel Garcia into the fold. I like that. I've been calling that for the last 18 months. I actually wouldn't mind seeing Wheeler get booted from the group. I think that would be ideal. Bryan Danielson even called him out on commentary for it, just saying Wheeler hasn't really held up his end of the bargain over the last year. So
Danielson is that ace they got in their back pocket. I mean, every time he's out there in commentary and something's happening in front of him, everybody watching is waiting for him to set down that headset and get into the ring. And it's going to happen eventually. And when that happens, all-time moment, that is going to be incredible. We know this guy's going to wrestle again at some point. And that's another part. He's great on commentary. Justin, you've been talking about how much you like my commentary. He's very good on commentary, but there's that second aspect of it, of the tease of going after the Death Riders and getting his revenge for how his career ended. And at some point when they pull that card, it's going to be incredible.
Not only that, though, we got a lot of returns in the last few weeks, mm-hmm. too. I mean, Orange Cassidy is an example. He's wrestling Fletcher here Wednesday night.
Ooh, boy.
Championship. Like, that'll be fun. Jungle Boy or Jack Perry reuniting with Luchasaurus. I think that is a great shot in the arm for AEW's tag team division. And then the big one, which is kind of being it's in the background right now, is Eddie Kingston. Mm-hmm. And we would like to see him get out of this lower card quicker, sooner rather than later. So he's off to a little bit of a slow start, but mm-hmm. You can heat him up at any given time, just how much the crowd loves him. Very nervous that they paired him with Hook, though.
Agree. Yeah. I think they've kind of shit the bed with Eddie's return, basically just having Big Bill challenge him, and then he responds on social media, and obviously that match was a little lackluster, and now he seems to be in a tag team with Hook. It's like, woof, especially, you know, talking about how Ospreay and Swerve are out and AEW is still, you know, keeping the pace without them. You know, now it looks like MJF could be gone for a while. It looks like Copeland could be gone for a while. You know, not anywhere near that level, but I think Hologram's out for the rest of the year, it sounds like. So yeah, they needed something a little bit better and bigger for Eddie's return, and I just haven't seen that yet.
No, they should have given Eddie a promo on Dynamite,
mm-hmm.
live mic. I mean, one of the best talkers in the whole company. That was sorely needed. I thought that was a swing and a miss to not have that on the show. But, you know, I do like, usually we're not proponents of more titles. I do think the women's tag titles is a good move. There's a lot of underutilized women in this company, I feel. And I was happy to see them announce that. What did you guys think about the women's tag titles?
Justin?
It's just the same concern I had when they brought him into WWE is like, is there enough depth to have the tag division while now without completely depleting opponents for your two singles championships is mm-hmm. my only concern. You know, it's like, is there going to be any kind of connectivity between, you know, the teams? Obviously, you know, Anna Jay and Tay Mello have a long history together, so that one makes a lot of sense, but you know, I think we're all here kind of big fans of when tag teams, there's a uniformity to it, you know, whether that be their look or just their dynamic. And I just really need them to be able to build that out without hurting, you know, the women's world title and the TBS championship.
Yeah.
I think one thing that we aren't really talking about much is with Swerve, Ospreay, Omega taking on a lighter schedule, MJF now on the shelf. This has been a golden opportunity for Tony to highlight the women's division here. Mm-hmm. We've talking about who can replace them on the men's side. Well, maybe give the women a little bit more TV time. And I think this is a good opportunity to do that. My response to the tag titles was a wait and see approach, I feel, just because it's going to be tough for it to get on television. If that makes sense. I mean, it's all those championships and everything. And one thing I also said was the Trios Division Championships, I feel, unify those with Ring of Honor and send them to Ring of Honor and call it a failed experiment. It's going to make both of those tag team divisions, women's and men's, that much better. So we'll see. I mean, I think over the years, we've been asking for one more match for the women on TV. He's been slowly doing that. Now it's a matter of how do you highlight all of these women on a weekly basis with just 4 hours of television? It's hard to do.
I think I had more concerns about the WWE ones than the AEW. I feel like there's more depth and characters with substance in AEW's undercard that hardly ever get on TV that they can utilize. I also think that this possibly gives Toni Storm something to do and keep her out of the world title picture. Just her and Mina as the first tag champions would make a lot of sense. Hmm. And then you get star power, you get it on TV because you got to put Toni Storm on TV. But yeah, I mean, they've built up a lot of natural partnerships over the years with the women. You know, Megan Bain and Penelope, you know, that was another one that, you know, they obviously fit in the division. You called out some of the others. I think it has, wait and see for sure, but I think it will be a good way to ensure that some of these women get on TV more as they should have been already. I think that's been a valid criticism of AEW is underutilizing what's a super strong women's division and has been for a long time. You know, I don't know on the other side if the women's division has been utilized as well, you know, with, you know, the way SmackDown ended, as you said, Jesse, it was a total embarrassment. And I mean, the Jade Cargill failed experiment, and could care less what Mariah May's doing in NXT right now. And it's just, to me, I the AEW women's division is much, much better and more intriguing.
And just because we're nerds here, I just want to say, I wish the tag title belt design was a little bit more unique instead of just kind of a playoff of the men's.
It's like exactly the men's with just women on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What were your feelings on Chris Statlander winning that championship at All Out?
I like it just because I like Statlander. And I wish they'd built her up a little bit more. The transition is a little awkward to me. Kind of just like with the new tag titles, it's just kind of a wait and see right now. You know, it's like Toni Storm was on such a freaking heater as your champion, and to have her lose the title in a fatal four way, it was just kind of meh to me. You know, I would have almost preferred like a transitional heel to be in there instead of doing the Statlander. Is she going to join the Death Riders or not? Is she a babyface? Is she a heel? So I didn't hate it, but it's just, yeah, again, it's a wait and see.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, going in, I actually did think a title change was likely. I was leaning more towards Jamie Hayter winning it, and then I figured they'd go with her and Tony feuding. But I guess, you know, maybe because they had this tag team situation brewing, and they foresaw Tony and Mina in that situation. So, you know, TK was like, we'll just take her out of the world title picture entirely, because if she drops it to Jamie Hayter, then you have to have those two feud with their history. I think with Statlander, I have been a little down on her. I just kind of felt like, I don't know, she was more interesting to me years ago, and I felt like my interest level in the character has not really picked up. Although, you know, what they've done with the Death Riders and the teasing there has been pretty good. But I think the bigger thing is that Stat's going to probably drop it to Willow, and that I'm into. So I think as a natural way to get the title ultimately to Willow, it's a good move.
But in a babyface match, I mean, again, to your point, I'm way more invested in Willow's character and would have preferred to see her win it at All Out than Stat.
True. Well, ultimately, at first I thought Stat would turn, which it could still happen long term. But no, I still think that she's going to drop to Willow. So if it is babyface, so be it. I don't know. I think Tony dropping it to Willow would have worked, but Tony is so beloved too. I think that would have been more forced than doing it with Statlander.
One nitpick I can go with, and I understand why they're doing it, is they've had Megan Bain in a lot of multi-women matches ever since she lost to Toni Storm, because I think that's her only loss on roster right now. She's beaten Statlander twice. You could easily feature that. They just haven't kind of pushed her side by side, maybe because they're fearful of her. I don't know. I mean, I actually don't really have a good reason why they're fearful of her, but maybe they could, again, just kind of rejuvenate that, because she'd be a good contender. But I feel like you could have gotten her more over if you continued a singles push parallel with Toni Storm. Maybe she could be the one to take off of Chris Statlander at this point. And right now, it looks like she'll just be like one of the more dominant forces in the women's tag team division at this point.
I don't know. Like Chris or Corey says in the chat, he thinks Stat's going to turn on Wednesday in the match with Darby and the Death Riders. I still think, despite her not turning this week, I still think that could be the long-term direction, obviously, and they could just be teasing it and making you think she's not going to turn and then turn. So we'll see. I think a Statlander heel run would be good. Switch it up a little bit and then drop it to Willow. But I ultimately want to see Willow get the shine and have her have the title.
I feel we all give Marina Shafir her flowers as an enforcer. Would you like to see her more in the ring in singles competition against women?
Not what I've seen out of her when she's wrestled, unless, you know, I mean, she's been training, so yeah. She's improved her game, yeah. But I think the current role for her works pretty well. I think they're going to add another woman to the Death Riders, whether that's Stat or somebody else, soon.
They talk a lot about her work on Bloodsport, and I think she's done a couple of GCW events and how much it's improved. And she was one of the few people that took John Moxley up on advice to get better and to get on television. It's obviously why she's with him, and it's her role's been suited perfect. So just see if there is some kind of improvement, throw her in the ring. Yeah,
it's not a bad idea to give her some more matches, for sure.
She'd be a good candidate to have a partner and go after those tag titles.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of protect her in that way.
Yeah. Anything else AEW we wanted to hit? I think that was, I mean, just kind of wanted to comment on how Dynamite followed All Out. Again, I did a review of All Out last week, and you guys can hear that on the Patreon side if you want to dive into that. But yeah, it's just, I guess what I would say about that too, is we've been trying to schedule these pay-per-view reviews, and it's a little easier when they are on a Saturday. But the problem I've been running into is, like, I've been doing them on Bleacher Report, and I don't want to, like, do the same show twice. You know, like, it's, I got a lot of stuff cooking right now with all these different gigs I have, especially in the fall. And so, like, if I do the review for Bleacher Report with Jeremy, then to do another review the next morning is just not the most time efficient thing for me. So I put them up for our patrons, and you guys can hear that. And then I'll kind of, on those weekends, I'll usually lean on Justin and Jesse if they want to do a review, or maybe they, you know, just, we couldn't work it out last weekend schedule wise. Mm-hmm. But usually on the pay-per-view reviews, at least this fall, it's probably going to be these two without me. And if you want to hear mine, you can sign up for the Patreon. It's a great way to support us. That's probably going to be the setup mostly moving forward, unless it's something I really want to rant on. And then I might do a second review, but, you know, we'll see. But yeah, no, we got that. We got classics coming on Mind Games. One of the best Mick Foley matches of all time against Shawn Michaels coming for our patrons. Jesse has been reviewing 1995 ECW, you know, over on the Patreon feed with Unplugged, and getting into some really good Mick Foley stuff over there too. So kind of fits the theme. Anything you want to talk about what you're doing on Unplugged, Jesse?
Yeah, it's been a lot of ECW stuff. I had, speaking of wrestlers podcasts, I had Brian W. Tosh, the host of the Sandman podcast. They do a very light kind of, it's like, it's almost like us. It's 10 to 15 minutes of sports rants at the beginning of the show. And then they'll dive into either a review of current topics, or they'll go into the Sandman's career. And just like ECW on TNN for last week was an example. I do that and always have fun shredding wrestling Twitter. And I get to do that again here in a couple of days because Ryan talked about a couple of them. It was quite funny. And I'm debating to move forward in the ECW 1996, depending on the library situation, because I don't know where we're going with that World Wrestling Entertainment wise here in 2026.
I will definitely be canceling Peacock when the WWE library is off. I don't know if I'm going to keep it that long, to be honest with you. I've been telling these guys, and I would advise all of you to do this, get an external hard drive and start compiling shows, because I think they're all going to end up on YouTube. A lot of it's probably going to end up on YouTube, but like what we've seen with Raw is that they transitioned the Raw library to Netflix, but not all the shows moved over. And I think the days of like the full Raw archive being available are probably gone. So if you want to be a completist and have that stuff, I'd recommend getting an external hard drive and building up your library from online sources is all I'll say on that. You know, this ESPN service, by the way, I was going to bring this up in my rant. I'm not paying $30 for that. You know, they told people that you're going to get it with your cable subscription, and then they haven't worked out that agreement with most cable companies. So right now, if you want to watch the PLEs, you got to buy the add-on. So, you know, I saw for a long time, a lot of the WWE heads were bashing AEW for their $50 pay-per-views. Well, now you're paying $30 for pay-per-views that aren't nearly as good. And, you know, the problem with it is like, what else are you going to watch on that app? Because if you have the, I have the old Hulu, Disney, ESPN bundle that they had at the very beginning when Disney Plus launched. And so I have like ad-free ESPN, ad-free Disney, and I have ads on Hulu, but it's like 20 some bucks for all three. And I'm still getting it at that price. It's a good deal. I would have to like cancel that and upgrade for this $30 ESPN. The only stuff I watch on that ESPN are live football sometimes, which I get on the current tier I'm on, which is not the tier that has the WWE PLEs. And then you have like the library of the ESPN documentaries, like 30 for 30, which are great, but those are also on Netflix. So like, I don't know why I would pay $30 a month to upgrade just for the PLEs pretty much. I mean, I'm not, no, there's other ways to watch them. You guys, I've been going over to England. That's what I did last weekend. I went to England and logged into my Netflix for a few hours and then magically came back to North America and it worked out fine.
That's what Stephanie McMahon wants you to do anyways.
That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
You didn't run into Stewart or Niall or anybody over there?
I wish. But no, I wasn't there long enough to do that. So maybe next time. But I'd advise all of you to do that, to be honest with you. I mean, it's very simple. I mean, that's how I'm going to be watching it, at least until YouTube TV, you know, gets an agreement and I get it for free. And at that point, again, as we talked about WWE, it's getting difficult. But I'll still watch the PLEs because my job requires it. So there's
that. I went above and beyond last night. I'll be 45 seconds on this. I watched two NXT matches from No Mercy.
Oh.
Mariah May, I'm not calling her the other name, took on Jordynne Grace. I was curious. It was a good match. It actually was a good match. It was a weapons match. The only thing I would have liked was blood. You're obviously not going to see that on that in that capacity. And the big reason why I watched was I was very curious to see Ricky Saints and Obafemi in the main event. And they had a good match. It was something that you would rank probably 3 stars. I mean, it was fine. I think Oba has a pretty solid future on the main roster. But shocker of all shockers, Ricky Starks won the NXT championship last night after kind of having an up and down last 7 or 8 months with NXT. He's just kind of lost in the shuffle. So if you want to go out of your way to watch either of those two because you really loved what they did in AEW, I think it's worth your time to do if you have it. Otherwise, yeah, dealer's choice there.
I was a little surprised when I saw that about Ricky because I haven't really seen anybody talking about him for months. Yeah,
no. I mean, they've been talking about a highlight on SmackDown, Javion Evans.
Yeah.
Holy cow, does that kid have a lot of athleticism. If he develops a character that can latch on to World Wrestling Entertainment, he's got a future in either promotion, to be honest. I mean, if AEW were to sign him. I saw somebody out there yelling about, I can watch that in AEW. Dude, I was like, that dude has athleticism I don't think anybody on AEW has, outside of maybe a Will Ospreay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. Nice.
John says conservation of physical media is important, wrestling or not. I agree. I think we're seeing that more and more now with, you know, all the streaming services and the rights changing every few months. And, you know, you think you have access to something and then it disappears forever, you know, or disappears for a long time. It's still, I still buy movies I'm really a big fan of on Blu-ray occasionally, or buy the digital copies at least. But I think this WWE archive, it's going to be a problem for people that like the history of pro wrestling long term. So I'm trying to be proactive of compiling my own collection. I still have all my old wrestling DVDs and Blu-rays too. I never got rid of those. But I do think, especially for people like us who do these classic shows, it's going to start getting harder to find some of them, unfortunately, once the stuff gets taken out off Peacock, I think. Netflix internationally, you know, again, in my travels to Europe, I've checked into that. It's on there, you know, there's stuff on there, but not as complete as it was in the past, like with the WWE Network days or even Peacock. So just something to be mindful of if you are a fan long term. So anyways, we've covered a lot of ground. I need another cup of coffee. I'm going to settle in for some football. Ryan Huffman, I'm sorry. I hope the Bears stomp the Raiders today. Jesse, I have not checked the score, but best of luck, however that's going.
It's not good.
Not good?
Okay. No.
Well, you got to win over us. Keep me posted if you want me to come to US Bank Stadium with you. A couple of months, though. We got
a month and a half, yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. Justin, good to see you last night, sir.
Yes, good to see you. Apologize, I've been on mute for a large portion of this show because I think the donuts I fed my boys, the sugar from it is fully kicked in. They're a little rambunctious upstairs.
Uh-oh. I thought it was because of the first 25 minutes where I wouldn't shut up.
Yeah, I love
shut
that.
Up, Ryan.
We needed that.
Yeah. Keep that going.
I don't know. I might have talked too much, but
nope.
I had some stuff to get off my chest. All right, guys. Well, that's all we got. It's episode 396 of Top Rope Nation. 400 coming up very soon. Got some new merch on the website, by the way, too. Check that link here in the YouTube description. This beautiful shirt I'm wearing right now. This is an old design. which is now available on a lot of different colors, Comfort Colors t-shirts. So that is available if you go to topropenation.com, hit the merch tab, get access to that as well. And patrons get a 20% discount on the Top Rope Nation store all the time. So if you join the Patreon, search for that code in our posts, you'll find it. All time 20% code never expires for our patrons. All right, guys, this has been fun. Enjoy what's left of your weekend, and we will see you all next time. Take care.
Peace.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.